So I want everyone to just take a second and just look around the church for a second. Look around at kind of the people that are around you, kind of behind you, in front of you, across from you. Don't be weird about it. But as you look around and observe, this is a big church, and I bet there's probably people in this church that you don't know, or people who you may know just maybe moderately. Maybe you say hi to them at Mass every Sunday, or maybe you've seen them a lot. And I bet even if you lived your whole life here in Dodge City, there are probably still people that you don't know or really don't know all that well. Oftentimes when we look at someone who we don't know or we don't know very well, we really just look at the outside of a person. We base our expectations of them based on their looks, the clothes they wear, their background, how they talk, just anything that might be external that might give us a clue. And we can make a lot of assumptions about that person. Now, not all of those assumptions are bad, or all those judgments may be bad per se, but we oftentimes look at the externals to tell something about a person by just what we see. We may even think that we could know something about their life of faith. Maybe just how they carry themselves at Mass, how they genuflect, how they kneel, how they come up to receive communion. We might think that we might know that person just based on that alone. But I wonder how surprised we would be if we really got to know that person, and how different our expectations of that person would be based on what we initially thought about them. I bet they'd be very different, because we can't really tell always a lot from the exterior of a person. It takes a lot of time and energy to really get to know a person. And there's very few people really in our life who we get to know on such a deep level. Husbands and wives get to know each other, their spouses. You might get to know close friends. Parents get to know their children. Siblings get to know each other. But beyond that, we don't really get to know people very much on a deep level. But God does. God does. Because God doesn't just look at the exterior, although he created the exterior, but he looks at a much deeper level. He knows the heart. Because he created everyone in this church. He created everyone and knows their heart very intimately because he created us. He knows the heart of every individual person. And so when Samuel is asked in our first reading to go anoint the new king of Israel, and Samuel doesn't know who this person is going to be, he goes and looks. He's told to go look from among the sons of Jesse. And it's not the person who Samuel expects it's going to be. So Jesse brings out all seven of his sons, and they probably all look like royal material. They could all be kings. But then God says, no, it's none of these guys. And so then Samuel asks Jesse, well, do you have any other sons? He said, well, I have, you know, this other son out in the field who's pasturing the sheep, and it's David. And David comes in, and God says, that's the person who I want you to anoint. That's who I want to be my king. Probably not the person or the candidate that anyone really expected, but the one but God knew his heart. He knew who David was. And so he chose him for that particular purpose. And God will often choose people, and we see this over and over again in Scripture. We see that God chooses people who we don't normally expect. You think about the different patriarchs of Israel. You think about the prophets. You think about Mary. You think about God coming in the form that he does, in the form of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You think about the disciples. You think about St. Paul. None of those were people that we really expected to fulfill the mission of God. And yet, God knew them. And so he picked them. He chose them. He looked into their heart. How often do we do the same thing with people that we encounter? How often do we say, well, I don't know if this person is able to do the mission of God, or I don't know how this person is able to do this just based on the appearance? But God has an ability to look into their heart, to know who is able to carry out that mission. And I think often we don't just do this with people, but we do this with ourselves. How often do we just look at our own exteriors and say, well, I can't do what the Lord's asking me to do because I don't have X, Y, and Z factor. I can't do this ministry because I'm just not able to do it. I don't know enough about theology. Or I can't take on this new job. Or I can't do this. We always make excuses for things we can't do based on just our own perceived weaknesses, on our own perceived perceptions of ourselves, that we never really look into our own hearts to know whether we can actually do something. Not recognizing that the Lord sees something in us that may be different than what we see in ourselves. I did this in my own life when I got my calling to priesthood. I was like, really, Lord, you chose me of all people? I can think of a lot of people who can pray better than I can, who might live a better life than I do. When I got to seminary, I would look around and see, like, oh, that guy looks like a really good candidate for priesthood. I bet he's going to be an amazing priest. And sometimes that person would discern out and discern another vocational call. And so as a result of that, the Lord was often trying to tell me, no, I chose you. Despite what you think of yourself, despite your initial expectations of yourself, I chose you to do this. And we often lower our own expectations of what we think we can do based on just who we think we are, rather than how God sees us. God made David a king despite not looking like the perfect candidate, despite not being the person who people thought could probably do this. It doesn't mean, though, that David was perfect by any means. He's going to commit adultery here in a few chapters. So David clearly was not a perfect person, but God knew him. He wanted him anyway, and he does the same with us. He wants us because we're us, because we're the person that God created us to be. And we have to remember that. In our gospel, then, we meet a man who was born blind. And Jesus heals him in a very interesting way. He spits on the ground and takes the saliva and the dirt and rubs it on the man's eyes. And you think it's gross? That's because it is a little gross. At least I think it's kind of gross. And you might be wondering, well, why is Jesus doing this? Well, you have to look at the reason that these gospel passages are chosen, actually. So last week we read the woman at the well. This week we get this gospel. Next Sunday we'll get another gospel. These gospels are what are called the scrutiny gospels. And they're meant to be read during these few Sundays, because it's for those who are preparing for baptism, catechumens. So each of these is meditating on baptism or a certain aspect of baptism, and this week it's focusing on the healing aspect of baptism. So when Jesus spits on the ground and grabs from the clay, it's supposed to hearken back to when Adam was created from the dust of the earth. And so Jesus, being God, is really recreating this man by having him, his eyes wiped from the dust of the earth, and then told, I want you to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he's being healed, he's being washed, and then he's being sent to go out on mission. Just like we receive in our own baptismal dignity. We are recreated, in a sense, by God in our baptism, to be able to go out and be sent on mission. And our blindness is taken away in baptism. We're given that gift of faith to be able to see. And after Jesus does, and actually right before Jesus does this, his disciples asked, well, Lord, didn't this man sin, right? Or did his parents sin? The reason they asked that question is because it was very common in the ancient world to believe that if you had sinned or your parents had sinned, that that was what caused your physical deformities or physical abnormalities. And so Jesus takes a step back and he says it's not because this man sinned or his parents sinned. It's not anything that they did, but he was born this way so that the works of God might be made visible through him. That the works of God might be made visible through him. So that's interesting. How God is able to use a perceived physical deformity, a perceived handicap, a perceived abnormality in us that's physical, to be able to show his glory. He was able to use this to be able to show to his friends, the Pharisees, even his own family members, the glory of God working within him. And the Pharisees see this, and really Jesus points out to them that even though this man now sees, they're the ones who are actually really born blind, that this man who was born blind from birth actually sees better than they do. And they were given the prophets, they were given the law, they have God walking in their midst, incarnate, and they still don't see. Now, do we ever think that God might, applying it to ourselves, do we ever think that God may be using our own limitations that we have, our own weaknesses that we have in our life to be able to manifest his glory? Do we ever think that God might be using maybe our own physical limitations that we have, whether we've had those our whole life or caused by medical conditions, maybe age? Do we think that maybe God could be using those things? Do we think that God could use mental illness that we might struggle with, anxiety or depression, learning disabilities like attention deficit disorder or dyslexia or other things that could be present in our lives for his greater glory? Or hardships that we might endure in our life, experiences that we have, things we've had to face in our life? Or maybe just weaknesses that we have, or perceived weaknesses, to be able to manifest his glory to the world? Do we ever wonder if the Lord is actually using these things, or if the Lord can use these things? I bet we don't. I bet we often think, well, I have this, and there's no way that the Lord can actually use this or wants to use it. But the truth is that the Lord really does. And even if we receive a miraculous healing for something in our life, do we ever think about, like the man born blind, that miraculous healing could be used in some way, whether it's a physical healing or whether it's a conversion experience, something we've been saved from, whatever it is, that the Lord may use that to lead other people to faith, whether that's through a testimony we give about it or just the example of our life? Do we ever think that the Lord is using those things to help us? Because God will manifest his glory through us. He didn't just create a part of us. He created our whole being, our entire selves, even those parts that we may not like about ourselves. The Lord wants to use that. He desires to use that. He wants to use all of it. Even if we don't see it or we don't recognize it, the Lord wants to use those weaknesses, those limitations that we have in our life. And he wants to use them in people, and he wants us to also notice it in other people, and not to limit ourselves based on the appearance that we see from others around us. He wants us to notice that those people can also manifest the glory of God too, if we just look into the heart, or at least God, knowing that God looks into the heart of that person and is going to use that person for God's greater glory. So as we look around at people that we see, what do we see? Do we see as God sees in that person? But more importantly, do we see what God sees in ourselves?